Avos Perik Aleph, Mishnah Gimel 1-3. This is a fascinating Mishnah and arguably even perhaps the most important Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You can argue that. It's Antigonus Ish Socho. So Antigonus, the name itself just screams at us. It's the first Greek name we have of a person, Chazal. And he's from the town of Socho. This is happening, we don't know when exactly, but somewhere, let's call it in the late 3rd century BCE, where Hellenism set in, and clearly his parents, Antigonus' parents, thought it would be a fine name to give their Jewish son, Antigonus. Antigonus, you know, Antigone, probably from Sophocles, you know, 5th century BCE. Antigone, the female version, that she was the daughter of Oedipus. Antigonus, the male version, and perhaps even named after the most famous one, Alexander's empire collapsed after his death. So we know about the Seleucids, who took the northern part of Israel, meaning Syria, and the Ptolemies, who took south of Israel, meaning Egypt. But there was a third major section of these Dodiki, which was the Antigonids, which is basically, let's talk of Macedonia, where it's Greece. So this is a famous Greek name, and he becomes the Gadolador over here, arguably the first of the Tanaim, depending on how you want to draw the line. From the town of Socho. So Socho is believed now to be right next to Beit Shemesh. It's on the 375, not far from the satellites. And if you've ever been in a spring afternoon to what they call Givat HaTurmosim, the lupine hill with the big blue flowers, that's Tel Socho. So you get an idea of the cities of yesteryear in the time of the Mishnah were small. That little Givat HaTurmosim is tiny. It's the size of like a small park outside of my house. In any case, maybe a big park outside of my house. So he was the Ish Socho, meaning he was the man of Socho. He was the God of the door. He was the leader of that town. Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. He received the Masorah from Shimon HaTzadik. Now, Kibel here, like I said back in the first Mishnah, suggests that his ability to receive it was limited by his capacities, meaning this is indicative of what has been called Yeridas Hadoros, the diminishing of the generations. But Antigonus got wasn't necessarily the entire Masorah that Shimon HaTzadik had to give. He was limited by what he could receive, kind of like Moshe had seen, like I said before. Now, Huhaya Omer, he used to say, like we said in the previous Mishnah, the same kind of pshat here, Al tiyu ka'avadim ha'misham shnes harav almanas l'kabel pras. Don't be like the servants who serve the master for the sake of receiving a pras, a reward. Now, just in terms of the words themselves, the word pras has a connotation which might be missed. If you talk about regular, you know, if you work and then you get paid your basic, you know, your wage packet, your salary, the word for that would be sachar. Okay, so this isn't sachar. This is pras. Pras is like a bonus. If sachar is like your salary, so then pras would be like the bonus, meaning it's something that one receives over and above what he's by rights able to demand for his work. It's sort of recognition of his efforts, his good efforts, his sincerity, his finding, charm in the eyes of his employer and the like. So the point here is, don't work for doing mitzvahs, serving Hashem, even not just for reward, but even for like Hashem giving you a little extra kiss on the cheek, and you don't want to get your reward from hereafter in this world, but like, oh, but Hashem, at least since I'm doing such a good job, he at least will make my business affairs go well or my kids get a shidduch or the like. Don't even do that. Now, the Rambam says, based on Chazal, that this Antigonus had two students named Tzadok and Baisus who understood from his words that there actually was no reward in the hereafter. And because of that, they essentially broke away from the mainstream Jewish tradition, founding the schools of what now are called the Sadducees and the Baisusians, the Baithusians, who the Stukim, the Sadducees from the word Tzadok, didn't believe that there was divine intervention in this world. They didn't believe in the immortality of the soul. They didn't believe in reward and punishment in the hereafter. And therefore, they sort of espoused a worldview of, make the most of this world, eat, drink, and be merry, like the Greek philosopher Epicurus, and the name Epicurus comes from that, because there isn't really a reward in the hereafter. So that's certainly not what Antigonus meant. What Antigonus meant was that the motivation behind one's avodas Hashem shouldn't be for the sake of getting a reward. Not that there isn't a reward, but one shouldn't be motivated in that way. And yet we see here, the Rambam emphasizes right away from that piece of the story that This is a dangerous message, okay? Now, it's also a very important message because we talk about the basic fundamental motivation behind one's serving of Hashem, which is what he's doing his whole life. So that, of course, needs explication. And the Rambam, seeing this being so important, actually discusses this at length in three different places. He has a full treatment of this in the introduction to Perek Chelek of Sanhedrin. He also has a lengthy comment here on the Mishnah in his Perish Mishnayos. But the presentation that I like most, I think is so important that I feel like sort of I have to kind of read it to you inside here to see the Rambam's full treatment of this Mishnah, he explains it at length, is the 10th and final chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. So that's the last chapter of his book, Sefer Amad, the Book of Knowledge, which is the first of the 14 books of the Rambam. Read this to you inside and explain it to you as I go. That makes this recording longer than usual, but I can't help it. This is just obviously so central, and the Rambam has so much to say. So the Mishnah says, Al Yomar Adam, a person, this is, I'm reading again from the beginning, Halacha Aleph of Perek Asiri, 10th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. Al Yomar Adam, a person should not say, Harini Ose Mitzvos HaTorah V'Ose B'Chochmasa, I'm going to do the mitzvahs and learn the Torah, Kedei She'akabel Kol HaBrachos HaKsuvos Ba, so I can receive all the blessings that are written in the Torah. Or alternatively, he shouldn't say, he's going to do the mitzvahs and learn the Torah, Kedei She'ezke L'chayel Maba, so I will get to heaven in Olam Haba. Similarly, a person shouldn't say, Ve'efrosh min ha'averos, I'm going to avoid doing the prohibitions of the Torah, She'ezhir Torah Mehen, that the Torah said I can't do, Kedei She'inatzel min ha'klalos ha'ksuvos b'Torah, so that I can avoid getting the curses that the Torah enumerates, O Kedei She'lo ekares m'chayel Maba, or that I shouldn't lose out on getting eternal life in the world and hereafter. The Rambam understands, of course, that the kind of ultimate punishment is not kind of a Gehenna, you know, hell type situation, but rather just non-existence. Ein roi, says the Rambam, ein roi, it's not appropriate la'avod es Hashem al derech zeh, to serve Hashem in this way. Sha'ovid al derech zeh, one who serves in that way, meaning to get rewards in this world and the next world, or to avoid punishments in this world and the next world. That guy is who Ovid Meira. He's serving out of Yira, out of fear. Ve'ena malas and avim below malas chacham. That is not the level, the ideal level, the exalted level of service of Hashem that the prophets attained and that the certain of the chacham attained. The serving Hashem out of Yira, what he's calling Yira, is not good enough. Ve'ein ovdim Hashem al derech ze ele amei ha'aretz va'anashim va'katanim shemachan chenosan la'avod mi'ira. The only people who serve Hashem in this way are people sort of starting out in their spiritual journey. So we're talking about amei ha'aretz, people who yet are undeveloped, uncultivated, simple people, va'anashim, women. Certainly, in the time of the Rambam, women were not educated like they are today. Certainly, va'katanim, and children. And even those, shemachan chanosan la'avod meira, you start out teaching them to serve solely out of yira, meaning just simply out of, you know, recompense, reward, and punishment, ad shetirba da'atam v'ya'avdu ma'ahava, until they mature, they develop their sense of understanding, and then they're able to serve out of love. Now, you're going to see in a second that the Rambam is going to enumerate and demonstrate this is sort of like a continuum. It's not all love or all fear. And in fact, our Mishnah, we'll see by the end, says, don't forget to serve out of love and also out of fear. That's what Tignos says. In any case, but the starting point is all entirely out of fear, meaning this is human nature. And even, as we'll see in a moment, even the best of the best can't necessarily reach to pure motivation of only out of love. Now, let me just explain, why should it be that serving Hashem in order to get rewards is called serving out of fear? So it basically means, according to the Rambam, fear of missing out. But the essential point here, and this is central to the whole idea of this Mishnah and the Rambam here, is that you either can be serving Hashem because you're looking at what's good for you, getting good things, avoiding bad things, and that's called Yira. But it's, and then there's the higher level of, we'll see in the next halacha about Ahava, serving because of Hashem, because it's Him, not you. Now, serving Hashem out of Yira, looking what's in it for you, is clearly problematic. The Mishnah, as we'll see, doesn't forbid this. And the Rambam said this is how everyone starts out. But it's clearly problematic. And let me explain to you why in the most pointed terms I know, which is how my Rosh Shiva, Rav Noach Weinberg, explained it to me 30 years ago almost. He said, listen, if you're serving Hashem in order to get reward or to avoid punishment, so that means you're just a mercenary. You're not working for Hashem, you're working for yourself. And as he put it, if the devil could pay more, you'd work for him instead. And that's the idea. Avodas Hashem, if it's for the sake of avoiding punishment or getting reward, isn't about Hashem at all. It's just about you and what's good for you. And that is simply, you know, a necessary starting position because people can't help but be self-interested as they start out, but definitely not ra'ui, not appropriate of the way to serve Hashem. Now, in contrast, halacha base, now the Rambam says what it means to serve out of love. Ha'ovid me'ahava, one who serves Hashem out of love, osek b'torah uv'mitzvos b'holech b'nesivas ha'chochma. He is involved in Torah and mitzvahs, and he walks in the paths of wisdom. Lo mipnei davar ba'olam, not for anything in this world, not for any extrinsic thing. Lo mipnei yiras hara, not because he's afraid of the bad stuff. Velo kdei lirosh hatova, and not to get the good stuff. Ella, this is so famous line of the Rambam, Osa ha'emes mipnei shehi ha'emes. He does what's right and what's true and lives in reality because that's right, that's true, that's real. And that's what matters. V'sof hatova lavo biglala. And in the end, his motivation is not for anything good or bad. He's doing the right thing because of the right thing. But he is aware that in the end, goodness will come from it because of it. Uma'ala zu hi huma'ala gadola ma'od. Reaching this level of spiritual development is a tremendously high level. V'ein kol chacham zochala. And even every chacham, who in the Rambam's mind is the ultimate in terms of the greatness of human accomplishment, even the Chacham isn't necessarily zocha to it, to achieve it, isn't able to achieve it necessarily. So you see that the Rambam set two extremes up. On the one hand, only the Katanim and the Amei Aretz are starting at the bottom with the Meira, but in the end, not even the great Chacham can get to Ahava. So everyone's on a continuum. V'imalas Avram Avinu, says the Rambam, this was the level of Avram Avinu, Shekaru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavi. Hashem said that Avram was my beloved one, Ohev, the one who he loves. Lefi shelo avad ele ma'ava, because Avram served Hashem only out of love. V'imala shetziva ba HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yidei Moshe, and this is the level that we're shooting for, that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, that from that first paragraph of Kriya Shema, ve'ahavta eis Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem, your God. V'zman she'ehav adam es Hashem ahava ruya. And as soon as a person reaches this sort of mental shift, that what's motivating him is the proper love of Hashem, doing the right thing because the right thing, because it's Hashem and not for what he gets out of it, miyad, immediately, necessarily will follow, yasa kol ha-mitzvos ma'ava. All of his different mitzvos will be motivated from this place of love. Now, why is it called love here? Why is the Rambam sort of philosophical, doing the right thing because the right thing, called love? And the answer is, it's sort of the other side of the coin from what I said in the previous halacha. When you're talking about yiretz, you're looking at what's in it for you. But when you do something for somebody else and it's not about you at all, every parent has had the experience of having their kid who's sick at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, holding their hand while they're, you know, vomiting in the toilet. That parent, why are they taking care of their child? There's nothing in it for the parent. There's no reward. They're not going to get a prize. There won't be parents of the year, you know, certificates coming their way. Nothing. The motivation simply is, this is the right thing to do, and I care about this other person. I care about my child. Since I love my child, I'm motivated to take care of them regardless of what reward or punishment, what good or bad I get out of it. I'm losing a night's sleep. It's not fun. It's disgusting, but I'm doing it because of my concern, not for myself, but for other. And that's the idea over here. Hashem is the other in this equation, where a person should say, listen, Hashem is emes, Hashem is reality, what he says is what's true and real, and therefore, I want to be a part of that. So I'm not concerned about me at all, that'd be Yira, but rather, I'm motivated about the other exclusively. That's pure ahava, that's the idea of the love. Now the next halacha in the Rambam, so famous, halacha Gimel, says, v'ketzid ya'av ru'ya, what is the appropriate level? What are we shooting for in terms of serving out of love? Who it is, Sheohav es Hashem ahava gadola yesera azamaod. The Rambam, who is so famously parsimonious, uses, you know, words very economically. Here he throws so many modifiers. It should be a love that's gadola, great, yesera, excessive. The Rambam, who so many places in Hilchos, you know, in Hilchos Deos and others, talks about nothing should be excessive. Everything should be, you know, balanced in the middle path. But the love for Hashem should be gadola yesera, excessively great. Aza, powerful, ma'od, in the extreme. Achatei nafshok shura ba'ahavas Hashem, until a person's His soul is totally bound up in his love of Hashem. He's wrapped up in that. V'nimtza shoga ba tamid. And he is just totally obsessed with it all the time. Kilo chola choli ahava. As if he's like a lovesick person. The lovesick person, you got to hang out with the next chasana kala you know who is on the eve of their wedding and look at them and learn from them. This is what it's supposed to be, that all they can do is think about what's he doing, what would she like, what would she want now, let me send her a message, So the mindset always is about the other person and what they are thinking, what they're doing, and what they're feeling, and to be a part of them and do for them. So that person, shein data panuya ma'ahava osa isha, this lovesick man, his mind is never free of his love for this woman. Vushoga batamid, he's obsessing about her all the time. Beim b'shivto, when he's sitting down. Beim b'kuma, when he's standing up. Beim b'shashu ochel v'shosa, when he's eating and drinking. Always thinking about the girl. Yeser mizeh, more than that, says the Rambam. Tia ava sashem. That's how a person's love should be. Belev ohavav shogim batamid. In the heart of those who love him, they should be obsessing over Hashem constantly. Kamo shitzivanu, as we are commanded. And again, he's going now to this, the later on part of that, the first paragraph of Kriya Shema, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, you're loving Hashem. You're the complete you, totally bound up with this love of Hashem. V'usha Shlomo amar derech mashal, as Shlomo HaMelech said metaphorically, ki cholas ahava ani, I'm lovesick, in Shir Shirim. V'chol Shir Shirim mashal hu l'inyan zeh, says the Rambam, all of Shir Shirim is a metaphor for this idea. So here we talk about the famous Rambam. That's the level we're talking about, that you're really obsessed about Avas Hashem, and that's the idea. He said in the previous halacha, once you reach this level, even you know a little bit, all your mitzvahs come this way, because this is what's motivating you. We're talking about, again, the Mishnah's point, our Mishnah's point, is that the motivation for the service of Hashem should be one of love and not and selfless. Amar Chacham Rishonim, I'm reading Halacha Dalet here. Now, Shema Tomer, the rabbi said, Shema Tomer, maybe you're going to say, Hareni Lomed Torah, I'm going to learn Torah, Bishvil She'eya Ashir, so I'll become rich, I'll get a good job. Bishvil She'ekra Rabbi, so they'll call me rabbi, I'll get kavod, honor. Bishvil She'akabel Schar B'olam Haba, so I should get reward in the world to come. On all those things, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk comes to teach you, La'aves Hashem, you should be loving Hashem. Kol mashatem osim, whatever you do, lo ta'asu ele ma'ahava, should be motivated exclusively out of your love of Hashem and not for love of yourself, looking out for yourself. So you see, really the Rambam says it's a necessary evil to start being meira, but if you're motivated not out of love, you're actually essentially over an aveira, what the Rambam would understand. In other words, it's a necessary starting point, but you have to move on from there. Va'od amr chachamim, and the rabbi said further, "B'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od, you should desire his mitzvahs greatly." That's from Tehillim, actually. "V'lo b'schar mitzvosav, and you should do it for the sake of the love of the mitzvahs themselves and serving Hashem, and not for the schar, the reward for the mitzvahs. V'chen hayu gedolei chachamim mitzavim l'nevonei talmidim u'maskileihem b'yichud, and thus, this is what the great rabbis commanded their students who were nevone talmideim, the understanding of their talmidim, umaskileim, the ones who got it, b'yichud. B'yichud either means specifically them or maybe in private. He was only told them in private. What's happening here is the Rambam, as I told you before, understands based on the Chazal that Antigonus sent this message to his students and it calls them to go off the derech, essentially to abandon Judaism. So this is a message, while it's true, you can't just announce people who aren't ready to hear it. Only says the Rambam, people who are already Navonim, Maskilim, they can hear it. Al tiu kavadim hamashamshin sarav al manas l'kabal pras, a direct quote of our Mishnah. They told their good students that. El mipneishu harav haroi l'shamsho. You shouldn't do it motivated for the sake of the reward, rather because you're motivated because he is the master worthy of service. Kolomar, Ivdu ma'ava, that is to say, says the Rambam, he translates this, serve Hashem out of love, as we defined before. Finishing up, the Rambam says in Halacha, there's two halachas here. Halacha, hey, he says, Kol ha'osek b'torah kadei l'kabel schar. One, this is very important. This halacha here is so important because it addresses the topic of lishma, which I think people misunderstand. The Rambam says, what does it mean to learn Torah lishma? It doesn't mean just learn it because it's there and for no other reason. No, that's not correct. And it's misunderstood, says the Rambam. Kol osek b'torah kadei l'kabel schar. If you're learning Torah in order to get schar, that's certainly not lishma. O kadei shelo tagia adav puranos, or to avoid punishment. Hareza osik shelo lishma. That's certainly learning Torah shelo lishma, not for its sake. V'chola osik ba, but anyone who learns it, lo liyira v'lo lekabel schachar, not because he doesn't want to miss out on something, and not to get reward, ele mipnei ahavas adon kol ha'aretz. The reason he's learning Torah is because of his love for Hashem, shetziva ba, who commanded it to be learned, hareza osik ba lishma. That's called Talmud Torah lishma. So it's not learning the Torah because it's there. It's learning the Torah because you love Hashem, and He said, "This is what I want from you to understand me and connect me through the Torah." But if you take Hashem out of the equation, it's just Torah for Torah's sake. That's not lishma. It's Torah because Hashem's existence and Hashem's mandate and Hashem's desire for it, and your desire to do what Hashem desires. That's lishma. V'amru Chacham, the rabbi said, "La'olam yasok adam b'Torah afilish lo lishma." And now make closing the circle a little bit. He's saying, listen, human nature, everybody, la'ola means always, it's the case. A person starts, and he's osik afil lishma, even though doing something lo lishma is not right, ultimately, so the Rambam in the previous halacha, but la'olam, everyone starts out that way, because that's how you start. Shemitoch shelo lishma, emerging from that, getting in the habit through external motivations of getting rewarded and avoiding punishment, from there, balishma, you will learn to appreciate the more subtle point, which is you want to connect to Hashem per se and not worry about what's in it for you. But that takes time. Lefikach, kishmalandin esa katanim, vesa nashim, uchlal amearet. And therefore, when you teach people at the beginning of their spiritual development, children, women, that's the Rambam again here, the women, he wasn't a great feminist, you see, uchlal amearet, and simple people in general. Ein melamden osam ela la'avod meyira. The starting point is not start telling about love of Hashem and doing the right thing because the right thing. No. It's you have to introduce them that it's good for them if they learn because they'll get good and avoid bad. Ukadela kabel schar. They should get rewards. Ad shetir bedatam, until they mature in their understanding. V'yischachmu chachma yisera, they become more wise. And then Magal Nahem Raze, then you reveal this secret. A Raz is a secret. So the idea of serving Hashem out of love should be kept from people. Here we are in a recording, you'll forgive me, I can't help it. The Rambam published it, so I'm saying his words. But the Rambam is saying, you don't just start telling people because it could mislead them, and it's too hard, it's too much. So you reveal to them, Ma'at Ma'at, you ease them into the idea slowly. Umar Gilinosam Le'inyanze, and you get them accustomed to this idea. Benachas, gently. Ad, and then he has a process here, until, ad she yasiguhu, first they grasp the idea, v'yeda'uhu, and then they integrate the idea, and then v'yavaduhu ma'ahava, and then ultimately they're able to execute on the idea to serve Hashem out of love. Okay, in the last halacha, the Rambam finishes up here, davar yadur barer, it's well known and clear, she'ein ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu niksheres b'libo shel adam, you can't get this love of Hashem to be bound into your heart, ad sheyishke batamid karoy, unless you are obsessing over it, you're focused on it all the time. V'ya'azov kol mashba olam chutz mimena, and you disregard, you abandon, you set aside everything else in the world other than Hashem and your love for Him. That's the only way you'll get there. The only way. Kamo shetziva v'amar, as it was commanded again, Kriya Shema. B'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. It should be your heart's only desire, if you will, and your soul's only desire to come to cleave to Hashem and abandon everything else that is not interesting. Eino ohev HaKadosh Baruch Hu ele b'da'as shi'da'u. You only come to love Hashem from the mental position of your desire to know Him. Val pi hadea ti ha'ava. And according to your understanding of Hashem, that's your ability to love Him more. Im ma'at ma'at, if you know Him a little bit, you can love Him a little bit. Vim harba harba, and if you understand Him a lot, you can love Him a lot. Lefikach tzarech adam liyached atzmo, therefore a person needs to dedicate himself. Lahavin ulahaskil, to understand and to think about. Bechochmos utvunos hamodios lo eskono, the wisdom and understanding that will inform him to understand his creator, his master, Hashem. Kefi koach sheyesh ba'adam lahavin lahasig. Each person according to his ability to understand and grasp. Kamo sheba'erno b'hilchos yisori ha'Torah. As I explained in Hilchos yisori ha'Torah, that was the very beginning of the book. So the Rambam is drawing a big circle here. Okay. So that's the Rambam's explanation of this idea at length. That's the treatment, and we'll stick with that for now. But now going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Al tu kavanam hamsham shnas rav almanas lakabel pras." Don't be like servants who serve for the sake of the reward, like I just explained. But then it repeats itself, not from the negative, what you shouldn't do, but what you should do. Ella, rather, hevu kaavadam hamsham shnas rav shelo almanas lakabel pras. Rather, you should be like the servants who serve not for the sake of the reward. Now, that seems redundant. The question is, why would it do it twice? So, the Der Achayim, that's the Maharal, quoted by the Tosfos Yom Tov, understands the reason why we're repeating ourselves is because here Antigonus isn't saying it's forbidden to serve Hashem out of fear for the sake of getting reward. No, he's not saying that. He's saying that's not where you want to be. It's not ideal. But it's a process. So you try to avoid that and work towards the other side. It's a process, like the Rambam detailed. And the Mefarshim speak out here. There's a very famous Gemara in Pesachim, Dav Ches, also in Kedushin. It says, "Hanosen tzedakah al menash sheyichye beno." If a person who has a sick child says, "I'm giving tzedakah now, I'm doing it on for the sake that my child, in the merit of my giving tzedakah, my child should, who is ill, should recover." Now, that's called, it's he, the person who gives, is called the tzaddik gemor. He's perfectly righteous. And other versions have tzedakah gemor. It's perfect tzedakah, but he's a tzaddik gemor. This is perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with this. So you see here, this person is doing a mitzvah, giving tzedakah, for the sake of the reward, so his child should get better. And we're calling this tzaddik gemor. It's perfectly okay. Okay, perfectly okay. So the point is, tzaddik means nothing wrong. So there's nothing wrong with this. And that's the idea here, that a person should start at the beginning, that's how it's going to be, but he should strive to ultimately be someone who does the right thing because the right thing, and not for the sake of any reward. Now, my Roshir of Noach Weinberg, he had a very fascinating explanation of this, which I think I want to speak out as well here, okay? Which is as follows. He illustrated the kind of idea like this. You know, you're walking by the pool, you got your suit on, and you see a kid drowning in the pool. So you just jump in to save the child, your shoes get wet, your tie gets ruined, you know, you pull the child out of the water, very relieved that he's okay. You bring the child to the kid's mother, and you say, you know, here's your child. I rescued him. He was drowning. And the mother says, "Oh, that is amazing. You saved my kid. I'm so grateful to you. What could I do?" And the mother gives you, you know, a 10 shekel coin. So you're disgusted. Like, you refuse to accept it. That cheapens everything. You save the child because the right thing to do. You're motivated to save the kid because the child needs saving, not because you're going to get some kind of compensation for it. You know, it's going to ruin your suit. But so what? You do the right thing because it's the right thing. Now, the 10 shekels cheapens that noble intention. Now, but if the mother would give you, you know, 10 million shekels, so you'd say, okay, listen, not necessary, but thank you very much. And you take the 10 million shekels. So fine. So now you're 10 million shekels richer, and you've also saved the kid. That's great. Now, if the next day you walk by the same pool and see the same kid drowning, and you save him a second time, and the mother gives you a second $10 million, you'll be rather pleased with the situation, right? You're saving the kid and you're getting rich. You know, by the third or fourth time, when the kid falls in, the first thing that pops into your mind isn't, "Oh wow, I could save a child. The poor child's in danger. What should I do?" It's, "Oh yeah, another 10 million shekels coming my way." Meaning that although our motivation should be do the right thing because of the right thing, like saving a child, serving Hashem, once you know there's a reward, so the problem is, if you start thinking about the reward, so then the reward can become the motivation. And that cheapens, you know, that cheapens your act terribly. All of a sudden you're becoming a mercenary again, you're saving the kid for the money and not for the sake of saving the child. So it's tainting, it's contaminating your avodah. So according to Rav Noach Weinberg, the second half of this Mishnah is coming to add, not just should you serve for the right reasons, but rather, even though you know full well there's going to be Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is going to be amazing, right? The Mishnah says elsewhere, like, a moment in Olam Haba is better than like all the good stuff in Olam Hazeh. But even so, you can be mindful of that, but if you think about that, it will, over time, distract you, and you'll now be doing things for the wrong reasons. So don't fall into that trap. Okay? Now the last part of the Mishnah says, Vayhi mora shamayim aleichem. Let the fear of heaven be upon you. So what's happening here is that although the word love, ahava, didn't appear in the first half of the Mishnah, that's how the Mefarshim, like the Rambam, understand it. So now the problem is that inherent in serving out of love is a person can feel sort of, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You become so comfortable with Hashem that you sort of think, you know, we're buddies, he understands me, and you become a little lax on doing things you're not supposed to do. So, as the Bartanura puts it, ahava is what motivates you to do the mitzvahs aseh, the positive commandments properly, and yira is what motivates you to, you know, steer clear of the negative commandments. So here, the Mishnah is saying, and this really echoes what we have in Kriya Shema itself, and in the Rambam and in the Ramchal, who always have like sort of going as almost two sides of the same coin, they go hand in hand always, love and fear of Hashem. So in Kriya Shema, the first paragraph talks about love, those are the proof texts that the Rambam brought, but then the second paragraph, Vayim Shemoa, starts telling you, if you listen, then good things will happen to you. If you don't listen, bad things are going to happen. So you see there's no yira element. You have to be mindful of that. So although the motivation should be ma'ahava, and that's the ideal, never lose sight of the fact also that Hashem is Hashem. There are consequences, and it's important to balance one's ahava with yira so that together a person can serve Hashem as he ought to be served.